the 70s, the era of innovation and invention in Moore's law, the 80s, the era of scaling, the 90s, the era of manufacturing, and today, the era of efficiency. The entire industry recognizes the importance of Moore's law and its impact on what we do. Intel is leading the ecosystem so developers, manufacturers, end users, and Intel benefit from our relentless pursuit, our impassioned embrace of Moore's law.
This is PodTech.net. I'm Catherine Girardeau, reporting from the Intel Developer Forum at San Francisco's Moscone West. In a keynote speech on Wednesday, Intel's Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Digital Enterprise Group, Pat Gelsinger, laid out the company's strategy for multi-core product development and releases. He also introduced an array of industry collaborations of interest to the conference audience of some 5,000 developers. During his speech, Gelsinger did not miss an opportunity to slam chief rival AMD during his demos of the next-generation vPro security system, and also during a comparison of power consumption and performance of Intel's Xeon 5300 and AMD's Opteron chip. Here's part one of his keynote.
You know, it's always a pleasure of mine to come to IDF to meet with you as an industry, to talk about great technologies, and really invent the future together. What a 6 months it has been since we were together last. We've just turned over the entire company, the product line, everything that we're doing in the last 6 months. In high school, I was a middle distance runner, sort of a half mile, and used to pace yourself as you went through the 800 yards. And those last 100 yards, right, you were always racing for that finish line in the tape, that sprint at the finish line. This last 6 months, it's just been one flat-out sprint. As we've had an incredible summer of 40 new processors coming to the marketplace. And that has been enabled by our relentless pursuit of Moore's law. In the recent proceedings of the IEEE Solid State Circuits Conference, they dedicated the entire issue to articles about the past, present, and future of Moore's law. And I was pleasured to be able to have one of those articles. And I talked about the 70s, the era of innovation and invention in Moore's law, the 80s, the era of scaling, the 90s, the era of manufacturing, and today, the era of efficiency. The entire industry recognizes the importance of Moore's law and its impact on what we do. Intel is leading the ecosystem so developers, manufacturers, end users, and Intel benefit from our relentless pursuit, our impassioned embrace of Moore's law. Today, we wanted to look at those results of that Moore's law and that embrace in our amazing products, how we've done them efficiently, how we've partnered with the industry to deliver new capabilities for the customer. But before we dive into that, I wanted to just take a quick look at what we've done over the last 6 months. Beginning with the Xeon LV, we've launched on March 14th, a processor designed for high-density bladed servers, storage devices, telecom, and compute platforms, the Xeon LV. We followed that on May 23rd by the Xeon 5000, our first 65-nanometer dual-core server processor, 2x the performance of the then mainstream dual-core processors, excellent price performance. We followed that on June 26 by the Xeon 5100, formerly known as the Woodcrest, the first product based on our core microarchitecture, a first for Intel, bringing server products as the first to deliver a new microarchitecture to the industry, performance and energy-efficient leadership. We followed that by the Montecito, the Itanium 2 9000 product introduction, the first dual-core Itanium, 24 megabytes of cache, a stunning 1.7 billion transistors on this chip, doubling the performance while reducing power. Then, the Core 2 Extreme, bringing the Core 2 processor to the client platforms, outstanding performance for gaming, introduced as an unclocked, overclocked, unlocked, and overclocked to greater than 4 gigahertz, over 33% scaling. On July 27th, we introduced Core 2 Duo, based on our core microarchitecture, bringing it to mainstream clients for desktop and for mobile. 40% boost in performance, 40% decrease in power. An incredible engineering feat. This was followed on August 29th by the introduction of the Xeon 7000, formerly known as Tulsa. Dual-core MP, including both high-performance as well as low-voltage SKUs, a stunning 16 megabytes of cache for unquestioned performance leadership in MP servers. Next was the vPro platform, greater efficiency, productivity, manageability, and security, our first platform to fully embrace the Core 2 Duo, delivering capabilities that IT needs at the heart of their business problems. We see it's three pieces of silicon that form the platform. It's the Core 2 Duo, the Intel Gigabit Network Connection, and the Broadwater Q965. Today, we're announcing the Xeon 3000, the dual core, the Core 2 Duo for the single processor server platform designed for energy efficiency, workstations, and entry-level platforms. As Paul described, we're bringing the first quad-core server products to the marketplace, the Xeon 5300, formerly known as Clovertown. Maybe the most exciting news of IDF, right, is the first quad-core processors being delivered in server platforms, the first IA quarters ahead of competition in delivering quad-core and server platforms. And we'll conclude with the first quad-core in the client platforms, the QX6700, formerly known as Kentsfield, available this quarter for rendering, financial service, high-performance gaming, multi-threaded workloads. When I look at a wall of wafers like this, I'm just overwhelmed. The amazing technology feats, the capabilities that we've brought forward to the industry, and seeing how you, as our partners, have embraced and worked with us to bring an amazing amount of technology forward to the industry. Ladies and gentlemen, the most impressive wall of wafers you'll ever see in your history. The crown jewel of our work this summer has been the Core 2 Duo. July 27th launched an amazing new microarchitecture, exquisitely executed, taking advantage of the most advanced transistors on the planet, our simply massive 65 nanometer manufacturing effort. And we brought this architecture top to bottom in our families, from our high-end Xeons to vPro clients to Centrino mobile platforms, delivering incredible improvements, 40% in performance, 40% decrease less in power, over 500 client designs taking advantage of this platform, over 200 server designs, and the response has been simply overwhelming. And one of my favorite quotes is this one from Anand Tech, right, that says, "It didn't lose a single benchmark. Not one. This is the unquestioned performance leader in the industry today." And we've applied this to our server product line as well, and this is the Xeon 5100 series platform. The core microarchitecture delivering up to 3x performance over our single core platforms, 3.5 times the performance per watt. The Bensley platform, our fastest ramping server platform ever in our history. And as Paul said yesterday, over 1 million of these platforms have already been shipped in the industry, a tremendous embrace and response to a great new product. In the spring, I gave a head-to-head demonstration of this versus our direct competition in this space, and we showed a great result. And it's a pleasure today to be joined by Susan Whitney, our longest-standing partner and relationship in the industry. Please join me in welcoming Susan Whitney, the General Manager of System X for IBM.
Hi, Pat. Good to see you, Pat, and congratulations. That is a very impressive array. Thank you.
Oh, man, I love that stuff. That's no,
that is great.
Thank you, Susan.
Thanks very much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. This is a great topic, a great event, obviously, for our colleagues. And also want to thank you for the opportunity to be at your Woodcrest announcement back in New York City. That was also very good.
And thank you for joining us.
That was also fun. And it really helped both of us launch our products, and turned out to be a very exciting summer. As you said, Paul quoted yesterday, In fact, what I'm excited about is the acceptance of our new Woodcrest-based products. And when I sit down across the table and talk with customers, what they are telling me is they are experiencing world-class leadership performance, and with 40% less power. So that is a great testimony to Intel. So thanks very much.
A great proof point. Right, but we're also entering a new phase of the relationship of the companies as well.
Absolutely. And I think it would be important to put our partnership, which has been going on for years and years, in a new context in terms of what's contemporary and what's the marketplace looking for. And so I thought a way to position it is to talk about IBM's systems agenda. This is our commitment and our agenda and the things that we're focused on for servers and storage. And it's based on three pillars: collaboration, openness, and virtualization. And our partnership, Pat, has been going on and continues to go on, and we have very strong proof points across all three dimensions. In fact, quite honestly, we couldn't do it without Intel. So let me just talk for a moment about collaboration for innovation. In IBM, we're smart enough to know that we can't do it alone. We do depend upon partners such as Intel. And I think the perfect, probably maybe one of the best proof points is our Blade Center. We started working on that together probably now 5 years ago. Came out with a design that I think set the standard in the marketplace. And the fact that it continues to enjoy market share leadership, I think, is a good proof point. Now, you add to that Blade Center, you add Woodcrest performance, 300% increase, and the 40% decrease in power and cooling requirements, and you have a winning combination and a winning solution. But we didn't stop there. We're equally, both of our organizations and our companies are committed to openness, because that delivers real value to you. And so we took our Blade Center design and we published the specifications. We published them and made them available. So what does that mean? That means today there are hundreds of developers around the world building content for Blade Center. They're building accelerators. They're building solutions, snapping capabilities that allows you to have more choice. And that's at the hardware level. Then we went even further. We said, okay, IBM and Intel became founding members of Blade.org. Blade.org says, let's not just collaborate and publish standards at the hardware level, let's go further up the value stack, and let's work in an industry consortium to build solutions that leverage all of that ecosystem and leverage all of that content. And then another example would be PCI and PCI Express. Clear cases of where we work together on industry standards, and I believe, based upon what customers are telling us, they value as a result. And then virtualization, clearly, to help you build the best infrastructure, get the best return on investment, we have to virtualize. And you take Intel's enterprise class reliability with IBM's mainframe experience, and you get systems that are architected specifically to be scalable and to virtualize. In fact, our Tulsa-based system now, we've done hundreds of studies, and what we've been able to demonstrate is that we can manage 3 times the amount of virtualized workload running at a peak performance. That's because of the capability and the scalability of Tulsa.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Our Blade work, our dual processor work, and we're really excited about how IBM is embracing the 7100 or the Tulsa. The performance improvement of that, our delivery of that product, and you guys were ready as we brought it to the marketplace ahead of schedule, right? The capabilities and performance, the improvements in performance per watt, the platform compatibility, we could drop that immediately in so customers could take advantage of it quickly, RAS features, the 16 megabyte cache-safe technology, and we've seen great performance from 10 to 60% performance improvements on that, and I think in the performance area, you have some exciting news for us today, Susan.
Yes, I'm very excited to say that we just published a benchmark, a TPCC benchmark, which in fact delivers 20% greater performance than any four-socket x86 in the marketplace.
World record.
World record, I agree. So we are excited about that. In fact, that really represents the 101st number one benchmark. And it's because of the Tulsa, the 7100, because of the architecture, because of our success in the marketplace with enterprise class applications, that, Pat, we're committing. We are going to invest in the fourth generation of our Enterprise X architecture. We're going to be ready for quad-core. And as you know, this is unique and exclusively on Intel-based processors.
That's fabulous. And you know, our joint commitment to this portion of the marketplace, to the MP marketplace, is substantial, right? And we've seen great success together in that area. Right, and but one thing I wanted to ask you about, Susan, you know, power is really an issue to our large customers as well. And you know, what's IBM doing to address that problem of our customers as well?
Very good question, and clearly on everyone's mind. It starts with the processor and the 40% reduction, but then there's an opportunity architecturally to build on top of that. And so recently we announced our Cool Blue portfolio of offerings, which really helped to manage power. We call it our energy management framework, and it's built on the Intel demand-based switching capability and technology. This is three dimensions, if you will. The first is the ability to budget, and we use a power configurator, an online tool that allows you to budget how much power you're going to need, not based upon a typical configuration, but based upon your specific configuration. So that allows you to budget. Then the next step is, okay, now you're actually executing and running. How can you ensure that you can maximize the performance within any given power envelope? Not just throttle down, but within whatever power envelope you have, how can you ensure that you can maximize the performance? And we announced Power Executive to be able to do that. And then the third element is, in addition to the servers, the processors and the servers, what other components can we add to physically reduce the power requirements? And a good example of that is our rear door heat exchange system, which takes chilled water from the air conditioner and on a rack basis, a few thousand dollars per rack, to be able to cut down the power and cooling by an additional 55%. So those are the three elements, and I'd like to just spend a moment on the Power Exec, because this is an industry-unique capability. A CFO has the tools and the metrics to be able to manage cash flow. This is for a CTO or a CIO to be able to manage energy. And what it does is it tracks how much power are you using, not against what the labels add up to, but based upon your configuration and your applications. How much power are you actually using? How does that power trend over time? And you can measure that in 8-minute intervals or months. So you get that management information. You can do it at the server level, or you could do it at the rack level. And then the last piece is it can also measure, and it does measure, and provide you information on temperature, ambient and exhaust. And again, trends that. So it is like a CFO has lots of tools. It's time that we have the tools for the CTO and the CIO to be able to manage this critical resource, not cash, but energy, which translates into cash. So we're excited. We've got the processors, we've got the architecture, we've got the management tools, and we're excited because it's resonating in the marketplace, and that's the most important thing.
Oh, this is fabulous, Susan. We're happy to see you take advantage of our dual processor, our blade work together, our MP products, the virtualization, and the power work as well is uniquely tied to our demand-based switching architecture at the platform level as well. Overall, a tremendous partnership. Thank you,
Pat, so much, thanks
Susan.
Very much. Thank you.
As we've suggested, we're on track to deliver the industry's first IA quad-core processor, 100% socket compatible, exceptional engineering. We've accelerated this offering into the marketplace. This is the right way to do quad-core on 65 nanometers. This offers a whopping 8 megabytes of smart cache in the platform. We utilize smart die selection technology through our manufacturing. It allows us to select the high frequency or the low power parts, producing the best quad-core product for the different segments of the market at a lower cost compared to a monolithic solution, you know, 20% higher die yields, you know, greater than 10% lower manufacturing costs, allows us to leverage our enormous manufacturing capacity of the Core 2 Duo platform. Given it's socket compatible, it also offers investment protection through direct upgrade, and ultimately delivering millions of units before the competition even responds. But the result, greater than 4.5x increase in performance compared to our single-core platforms at 50, and provides over 50% performance increase compared to our dual-core processors. And it drops into the same platform. And as Paul promised you yesterday, we'll be delivering this in volume. We'll ship hundreds of thousands of these units before the end of the year. In fact, we're going to ship over 1 million units before the competition ships one unit. This is an incredible way to deliver value to our server customers. In July, we launched the Itanium 2 9000, the Montecito, a new level of mission-critical performance, increasing 2x in performance at a 20% lower power. We also, 366 days ago, launched the Itanium Solutions Alliance. And since then, we've seen a great response from the industry. We've now crossed 10,000 applications in the Itanium platform, 2x what we had a year ago. The next generation of those applications is being announced and brought forward to the platform. And in particular, we've had Oracle announce this week that they are bringing their next generation database, as well as their widely accepted Fusion middleware, onto Windows and Linux with the Itanium platform. We've also this week just had our 100th ISA member join, right? And that's JDA, databases for retail customers. And we've seen the industry is continuing to innovate on this platform. And let's take a look at one of those innovations here. And I have a Hitachi Itanium server here. And what we have here is, we're just using a little bit of the rack, right? We have four dual blades here, so we have an 8-processor or an 8-socket system here, right? And as you can see, we could fit 8 of these into the rack, right? So we could have 8 times what I'm demonstrating to you this morning in this rack here. And with it, we have 2 physical partitions, isolated platforms inside of this rack. One of these, as you see in the picture, is running a hypervisor, which then has on top of it 7 SQL servers, so 4 processors running 7 SQL servers in this hypervisor environment. And the second, with the same virtualization manager, right, takes 4 processors and is running a set of Linux workloads. So we see 7 Windows machines, and if we go to the first slide here, right, you see the full picture of the manager, right? So 7 of these are running the SQL Server database. 5 of these are running Linux stacks on top of the platform, with 3 of those running the transitive quick transit software. And on those, we are running native Spark code. So unmodified Spark binaries are running on 3 of those partitions. Now, the thing that I wanted to point out to you, and this is the greatest part about this demonstration, so this is running through the quick transit code from Transitive, native Spark binaries. What you are seeing on the WebSphere MQ and DB2 is the highest performance Spark machine that has ever been demonstrated. Ladies and gentlemen, the highest performance Spark machine in the industry, the Itanium platform that you're seeing here today. Somehow, I think Scott McNeely might not enjoy that as much as I did. So, amazing products done efficiently.
Intel's Senior Vice President and General Manager of the Digital Enterprise Group, Pat Gelsinger. This is PodTech.net.